Please be seated. So today is the last Sunday of the church calendar year, and we celebrate it as Christ the King Sunday. If you didn't read the little intro earlier, there's your tidbit for the day. Ironically, well, not quite ironically, but oddly enough, most of our church celebrations are somewhat biblically based. Christ the King Sunday is one of the exceptions. The celebration of the Feast of the King, or Christ the King, started by some pope back in 1925. Not even that old of a celebration. And it was instituted by the pope in response to growing nationalism and secularism. So it's not even really a church thing. It was a national thing that the pope instituted. The irony in it is that Jesus never really referred to himself directly as king, never spoke to people as he should be addressed as king. In fact, even when people asked, "Are you the king? Are you the Messiah?" he would turn the question back on them. "Well, who do you say that I am? You call me that." But he never once said for himself, "I am the king," right? So it's kind of appropriate for this last Sunday of the church year to be reminded of Christ's teachings and Christ's total being. Christ the King Sunday is kind of like the epilogue to all of Christ's teachings. It wraps it up for us into one itty-bitty story. And technically, this gospel lesson that we had today isn't even specifically spoken to us. It was a general story. Jesus refers to the nations, and there's some controversy as to who he was referring to when he spoke about the nations. But he wasn't specifically saying to the Gentiles or the Pharisees or to any specific group, right? But we can certainly take the opportunity to hear this story and give ourselves our own little self-check, our own little test. This idea of the Son of God one day separating out the sheep from the goats. It's a tool, sort of, to help us inspire our own faithfulness, to extinguish some of our self-centeredness, and help us to measure who and where we are as we aspire to grow in a likeness of Christ. So sheep and goats, right? Sheep are followers, sometimes mindless. Goats are a little more stubborn. They don't quite follow. They have to be pushed sometimes. So the king says, "The sheep go to my right. And for you, the kingdom has been prepared for you. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in prison, you visited me." Now the ones on the right, the righteous ones, are surprised. They turn to Jesus with a sense of awe. "When was it that we did those things for you? Because I don't ever remember doing that. We never saw you when we were doing those things." They're surprised to find out that they had cared for the king. And apparently, they were the kind of people who simply shared who they were and what they had freely, without calculation or expectation. "When you did it to the least, you did it to me." On the left, the unrighteous are gathered. And Jesus says that they only acted out of calculation. The king says to them, "You shall now depart to eternal fire. When I was hungry and thirsty, a stranger, when I was naked, when I was sick and in prison, you never did anything for me." The unrighteous, the goats, are also surprised. And they turn to Jesus and say, "But when did we see you? When did we have the opportunity to clothe you and to take care of you and to feed you?" They became very defensive in their response. It's kind of like my 8-year-old who, when he gets caught doing something, he'll say, oh, I didn't see you, or I didn't know you were watching me. Like that really makes a difference, right? But it does. It does make a difference, and it's hard. The unrighteous have calculated and kept tabs on everything they've done. They haven't given freely. They gave just to add to their own tally marks. To give freely is hard. It's very challenging. And it's also hard to explain to people. A couple months back, our family took a trip to Chicago, took the train down, got to the bus station, grabbed a taxi, went over to the aquarium, and every time we got out of any kind of transportation vehicle, we saw people with signs sitting on the street asking for money. My 6-year-old, bless his heart, wanted to give money to every person he saw. And he kept asking me why we wouldn't. Those darn kids. No wonder why Jesus wanted the children to come to him. And I had to repeatedly try to justify, not only to myself, but also to my son, why we weren't giving money to every one of them. And I finally said, you know what? We give our money through the church. We help out people who are in need through the church, through the food pantry, things like that. And he kept asking, but what about these people? They're not by our church, right? You know, he's good. He's good with those questions. And I have to admit, I finally said, you know what? If we gave our money to all these people on the street, we wouldn't be down here on our little vacation, and you wouldn't be carrying that enormously, outrageously priced stuffed animal that you just got from the aquarium. He stopped asking after that, and then I felt really guilty. Because I wasn't really teaching him about righteousness. I wasn't really teaching him about freely giving. As adults, we rationalize, we judge, we defend, we create opinions, and it seems impossible not to. But we've been fooled, we've been cheated, we've been lied to, we worked hard for what we have, and we don't want our efforts to be wasted. We have had folks who call or show up here at church, sometimes local, sometimes not so local, and sometimes expecting somewhat ridiculous things. A few weeks back, we got a phone call on an evening asking if we would give our credit card number to the hotel where he was staying so that we could pay for his housing. He wasn't staying in Wisconsin. Sometimes their stories are obvious lies. It's hard. It's hard to be sheep and to follow without judgment, to serve without questioning. And sometimes when we do deny someone who we've seen as someone who's sort of taking advantage, someone who we've turned away, they in response have cursed us, made obscene gestures. What do we do? I should clarify, though, that when people call or come here, especially, we never turn away completely. Those people who are seeking money that we're not willing to give directly to them are directed to places where they can get the help they need, where they can utilize the resources that are available, which is really way beyond the money that they need. But it's still hard. It's still very hard. And just as I struggled with the words to explain to my 6-year-old why we couldn't give money to every person on the street, and when I eventually did give him some money to give to one woman, I got him to stop asking me. But it's hard. So it's obvious, though, that we need this little checkup of how we're doing spiritually. And we need this checkup regularly. We need to always be checking where we are at with Christ's presence in our lives and our faithfulness to living in a Christ-like way. God repeatedly pours his love out onto all people, through coming to us, dying on the cross, suffering for our sins. God loves us to no end. And we are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of this freely giving God. And so we strive to freely give, because that's what it means to be created in God's image. We feed the hungry. We give drink to the thirsty. We welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, visit those in prison, not to earn God's love or anyone's favor. These actions, these ways that we live, we do so out of the love that is inside of us, bursting from our seams, spilling out of us. And this little self-check is important. Not only so that we continue to love others, but because God calls us to be righteous. God wants to save us from obsessing about ourselves, from worrying about our own needs. God persuades us to forget about ourselves and to worry about others so that we can live the lives of the righteous ones who are surprised when they are separated to the right. Really, God? We did that? I don't recall ever seeing you in need. When did we serve you? Amen.